O little town of Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Verse number 2. The Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Notice, from everlasting. So Micah chapter 5, verse number 2 is our text today. My thought is, O little town of Bethlehem. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning, as we bow our heads in prayer, we thank you for the good service that we've already enjoyed and been blessed by being a part of. Thank you for the music today that has redounded to the glory of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all of these very busy things that are happening, the Christmas programs, the cantata, and then, our Father, the host of other things that are going on this time of the year in people's homes and people's lives. Now, Lord, bless us today. Speak to hearts at this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. O little town of Bethlehem, what a precious hymn. We sing that song every year this time of the year. The song was written 1867 by a man by the name of Philip Brooks. He had been to Bethlehem. He had seen that quaint little town. And as he gazed down from a hilltop above looking at Bethlehem, these thoughts came to his mind, and he penned the words that would result in that song that we endear and we sing every year around Christmas time. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Long before Philip Brooks even was born, the prophet Micah put his pen to paper and wrote something about the little town of Bethlehem. The story of Christmas is a story of a little town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a special place. I want to give you this morning three simple points, which hopefully the Spirit of God will use to help us not only appreciate a little bit more this tremendous aspect of the Christmas story, but appreciate the town, and above all, appreciate the great miracle that took place. A special place. The little town of Bethlehem was a special place. I want to tell you why I say that. 7 centuries before the coming of the one who would be incarnate in flesh, 7 centuries before Jesus was born, the place of his birth was announced by the prophet Micah. Great things happened in this town. This town has an amazing history. Bethlehem has an amazing history. In fact, when we read the gospel accounts, we find that the scribes used this passage of Scripture to inform Herod where Christ would be born. The amazing thing about it is this, though. When the scribes told Herod, based upon what Micah had said, where Christ would be born, it is amazing how they, in a sense, had a handle on Scripture. But yet, obviously, the Scripture did not have a handle on them. Though they quoted it, though they referenced it, yet at the time that Jesus was living, the scribes and the Pharisees were in the left field big time. O little town of Bethlehem, a special place. The town of Bethlehem is located 5 miles south of Jerusalem. 5 miles. You would have thought, based upon human reasoning, that when Jesus would have been born, you would have thought he would have been born in a very special place. I'm talking about special because of size. Spatial because of politics. Spatial because of commerce. What about cities such as London, Paris, New York City, Washington, D.C., Alexander, Egypt? But no, he was born in Bethlehem. I think that we do great injustice to Scripture if we overlook the significance even of the name. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. Micah also called it another name, Ephratah. That's the older name for the city. The name Ephratah means place of fruitfulness. Place of fruitfulness. House of bread and place of fruitfulness. How can we help but make a dovetail to the great truth of Christ? How can we help but realize that after all, He's the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse number 35, He's the bread of life. Does it surprise us that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, considering the fact that He's the bread of life? He's the one who can take barren life, by the way. I'm thinking of Ephrata, place of fruitfulness. You see, not only is Christ the bread of life, but Jesus Christ in a person's life results in fruit. He can take a person who has a barren life. He can change that person by His grace. He can turn that person's life into a fruitful life for the glory of God. The one that was born in Bethlehem, house of bread and fruitfulness, is the same one who sustains a person's life. The same one that gives fruitfulness to a person's life. Bethlehem is mentioned first in Genesis chapter 35. As Jacob and his family were journeying back home to Canaan, Rachel goes into labor, gives birth to Benjamin. Rachel dies in childbirth, as the Bible indicates. And as she's dying, she calls her son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow. Rachel was buried outside of Bethlehem. Jacob changed the name Benoni to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Bethlehem is first mentioned in a negative context. It's associated with sorrow and death. Benoni, man of sorrows. What about this? Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Then I'm also thinking of the fact Benjamin. Benjamin, son of my right hand. The one who is a man of sorrows was the one who created this universe, yet did not have a place to lay his head. He was the Benoni, the son of sorrow, but yet at the same time, the Benjamin, son of my right hand. Because we know this. We know that Jesus went to the cross. We know that He suffered and bled and died. We know that He arose again on the third day. We know He ascended back to heaven. And we know that He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. I say to you this morning, there is no insignificance to the word Benjamin. To the word Benoni. I'm reminded of Christ, the man of sorrows, but I'm also reminded the one who's at the Father's right hand. He was born in Bethlehem. One of the judges of ancient Israel, a man by the name of Ibzan, was from Bethlehem. It was a special place. The beautiful story of Ruth was played outside the town of Bethlehem. It was in Bethlehem that Ruth the Moabitess found redemption from her pain and her past. She found grace and mercy and love and redemption and restoration and a hope and a family and a future, all in a place called Bethlehem. It was here in Bethlehem that David, the young shepherd boy, was anointed king over the nation Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. David, the king. It's in Bethlehem that the King of all kings was born. It was in Bethlehem that the Son of David, according to physical lineage, none other than Jesus Christ himself, was born in Bethlehem. It was in Bethlehem that the shepherd of our souls, the one who found us wandering in the black hills of our sin, was born. It was here that the good shepherd was born. It was here that the great shepherd was born. It was here that the chief shepherd, who one day will come, was born. All in a place called Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the focus of amazing prophecies by the prophet Micah. Bethlehem witnessed the most amazing miracle the world has ever seen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in flesh, was born here. Bethlehem was a special place. I'll tell you, it may have been a small town, old little town of Bethlehem, but it sure did have a big event that took place there. It may have been a little town unnoticed, but it surely was a place that witnessed the greatest miracle of all times. Old little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a special place. Bethlehem was associated with a special purpose, person. A special person. The little town was a site of God's wondrous plan. The words, by the way, that Micah shares with us under inspiration. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Tells us that God had big plans for the little town of Bethlehem. I cannot help but look at a portion of that verse that says this. And please, again, notice your Bibles with me. Look at verse number 2. Let me show you something here. The Bible says in verse number 2, it says this, it says, out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Notice the last part of that verse, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. Whose goings forth have been from of old. Let me tell you this morning that the one that was born, held in the virgin's arms, had already been here. He had already been going forth. I can tell you how I can prove that. We find him going forth throughout Scripture. We find him going forth in the Old Testament. We find his appearance in the Old Testament. The pre-incarnate God. Theologians call that a theophany. The appearance of God, or Christophany, the appearance of God pre-incarnate. In other words, Jesus Christ appeared in the Old Testament. His going forth had been from of old, from everlasting. Let me break that down a little bit. We see him going forth when he appeared to Adam in the Garden of Eden. I believe Jesus was there. We see his goings forth in creation. All things were made by him. Without anything that was made, without him was nothing made that was made. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him and for him. That's John 1. His goings forth was in creation. We see his goings forth as he walked in the garden with Adam. We see his goings forth as he appeared one day to the tent of Abraham just before Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. We see his goings forth at the time that Jacob met him. You remember that? Preached on Sunday, Wednesday night. Jacob met him. What about the wrestling that took place? They wrestled with him until the breaking of the dawn. And then Jacob said, He said, I have seen God face to face. I believe the Lord Jesus himself was the one that Jacob was confronting in that passage of Scripture. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Moses said, who do I say sent me? He said, tell him the I am. We know who the I am is. He appeared to Moses. This one whose goings forth have been from of old to everlasting also showed up in the fiery furnace. If you remember that account, the sign of the fourth man that I see is like the Son of God. I'll tell you, the one that was born in Bethlehem had always been. What took place was the fact that God became man. You see, when man sinned in Eden, God gave humanity the first glimpse of his plan even. God told Adam and Eve that a Redeemer would be born someday down the line. That's found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. Through the mouths of the prophets, God gave insight into this one who was coming. Isaiah 53. God's plan is an old plan. He formulated his plan in eternity past. And now the plan was coming together. The plan involved God becoming man. It involved him coming into this world and living as a man. It involved him going to the cross and dying for the sins of fallen mankind. It involved him rising from the dead. It involved him ascending back to heaven. It involves him returning back from heaven and coming in glory. It involves him reigning upon this earth. How is Handel's Messiah will one day be carried out when the King of Kings himself rules and reigns on planet earth. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Old little town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a special place. Bethlehem was associated with a special person. Bethlehem has part of a special plan. A special plan. Again, what did Micah say? Micah reminds us that he, the eternal God, stepped out of eternity into time. The story of Bethlehem is God becoming flesh. Now, I want to point something out here. He did not stop being God when he was born. He simply added humanity to deity. When Christ was born, he's 100% God, but now he's 100% man. But his deity is not compromised. He's still very God, very God. He's still human. If we could somehow imagine that and realize that and see fully what that means, I'll tell you, we'd have a shouting fit probably. I can't understand it. How can God become man? I don't understand it humanly, but all I can do is just raise my hand towards heaven and says, thank God I'm glad that happened, because I stand here today redeemed because of that. He had to become man. Jesus had to become man in order to die. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. He was born to die. I love the story of Bethlehem. And I love to see the nativity scenes that are obvious and presented this time of the year in churches. Even some towns have living nativity scenes. And that thrills me when I think about that. And I view the nativity scene. But my friend, do not stop at the nativity scene. Bethlehem was a special place. Bethlehem witnessed the birth of a special person. And Bethlehem is a part of a special plan. Thank God the plan did not end at Bethlehem. The plan included Calvary. The plan included the empty tomb. The plan included the ascended Lord. The plan included the Son of God at the Father's right hand at this moment. The plan includes Him coming back. The plan includes the rapture. The plan includes the redemption of this earth eventually. The plan includes the redemption of Israel even. The plan includes the Lord ruling and reigning in Jerusalem, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. What took place in Bethlehem was a part of a plan that will find its fruition in eternity. My friend, do not stop at the nativity scene. Journey on to the cross. Understand this morning, we're not simply saved because Christ was born. Thank God we're saved because He died and took care of our sin debt. Without Calvary, all you would have would be just a lovely little story of the birth of a baby. But thank God we have far more than that. We have the birth of the King. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Special place. A special person was born there. Special plan. I can't imagine. I can't comprehend. I can't understand in my own puny way of thinking the full intent and content of the passage. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. I can't understand how the Creator of the universe instantly was dependent upon His mother for His very life. I can't understand how the one who made the sun and caused the light to heat the earth needed the mother to wrap His body in swaddling clothes so that He might be warm. Micah gives a message of victory, though. The one coming would be ruler of Israel. Between His birth and the kingdom, the cross was planned, as I've said. The people rejected Him, but I want to say He's not through with Israel. The plan of God involves one day the eyes of His ancient covenant people being opened as they see those nail-pierced hands and know that He was crucified in the house of friends. The Bible says He came into His own, but His own received Him not. That's Israel. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. But He's not through with Israel. He's coming back. Israel will be awakened. They'll go into the millennium. There'll be the rule of Christ upon this earth as king, prophet, priest, and king. O little town of Bethlehem. The songwriter says, for Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Now, in closing, we talk about peace to men on earth. Understand this. I don't need to tell you this. Everyone already knows this. There is no peace on this earth right now, geographically. There's no peace upon this earth right now, and the evidence of that is the threat of enemies constantly, the mobilization of forces, the fighting of ISIS, for example, right now. There's never been a time that this earth has ever had even a few years of total peace across this globe. It's a misnomer. But there's peace today that can be found. There is peace. But I'll tell you where the peace is found. It's found in knowing the person who was born in that little town of Bethlehem. That's why Paul could say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved, neither do we have peace by celebrating Christmas just in and of itself. People get teary-eyed, emotional. We have our church programs. We have our children's programs. And the world, in a sense, just kind of steps back, it seems like, this time of the year and takes a breath. And it seemed like there's kind of a little bit of a serenity that covers the land around Christmas time that is unlike any other time of the year. But I want to say this. It is still not an answer to real peace. Just celebrating Christmas is not the answer to real peace. We've got to be formally, by grace, through faith, through conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, be introduced personally to the one who is the Prince of Peace. We've got to come to that place in our life where we know that we're a hell-bound sinner in a land of unfruitfulness and trust Him who is the bread of life, who can make our lives fruitful. We've got to know Him. Peace can be found, but it's in the heart of a redeemed person that knows today that they have been saved by the grace of God. And I'll tell you this, that's the very reason He came anyway. That's why He came. He came for one reason. He came to redeem, to provide redemption for lost sinners. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why you had the little town of Bethlehem. But I'll tell you something, the town is not nearly as important as a person who was born there. Do you know that person? Do you know that person? We're in this is next, a week away, Christmas. 2 weeks away, actually. It's on us. And I tell you, people are just having a time of it, aren't they? Getting ready, decorating, buying gifts. Everything's laid out and planned. But how many people this time of the year are going to go through this glorious time of the year and not even know the one that whose life we celebrate? Whose birth we celebrate. Do you know Him? I hope you get a lot of nice, pleasant, exciting gifts for Christmas. I do. But if you don't know the one who died upon that tree, then what you get under that tree will pale in significance. You need to know the one that hung upon the tree in order to have the real peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning I pray if there's someone here that does not know the Christ of Christmas, as a sign out front says, without Christ there's no Christmas, and how true that is. Dear Lord, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know for sure that they know Him, whose birth we celebrate, I pray they would know Him today. I pray this morning that every one of us that know the Lord might rejoice even more, and might praise God even more, that this infant, the infinite became an infant. God became man. Oh, thank You for that. Now, Lord, today speak to hearts. His bowed eyes are closed.